In the last parliamentary session of the year, the Senate has introduced Magnitsky-like laws, which, if passed, would enable governments to sanction individuals in foreign countries who commit human rights abuses. The bill is expected to pass before the parliament rises for the year. The world's first Magnitsky Act was passed by the US in 2012 after human rights campaigner Bill Browder successfully lobbied Republican Senator John McCain and Democrat Senator Ben Cardin to co-sponsor a bill. Now, the laws are named in honour of former tax lawyer Sergei Magnitsky, who died in custody in 2009 after he'd been hired by Mr. Browder to investigate one of the biggest cases of fraud in Russian history. Bill Browder has since helped several countries introduce similar acts and is widely seen as the driving force behind the increasingly global adoption of such laws, which he says are an effective means by which to target individual bad actors while leaving the populations alone, making them a modern foreign policy tool. Bill Browder joined me earlier from London.
So the Magnitsky Act is a piece of legislation which is named after my Russian lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, who was tortured and murdered in Russian police custody 12 years ago. And it's a piece of legislation that goes after human rights abusers and kleptocrats anywhere in the world and freezes their assets and bans their visas. The Magnitsky Act was first passed in the United States in 2012 and has since gone to 32 other countries. There's now 33 countries. And hopefully Australia in the very near future will be the 34th.
Yeah, and on that note, the bill is expected to pass before the Australian Parliament rises for the year. So we're talking about financial sanctions and travel bans that could be imposed on countries committing abuses or conducting cyber warfare, trading weapons of mass destruction, and those sorts of things. What do you make of Australia's proposals?
Well, it's a good piece of legislation. I think Australia should have gotten to it sooner, but better late than never. What it does is it really brings Australia together with other allies in situations where there's some terrible atrocities being committed. And for example, a while ago, all the countries that had Magnitsky Acts went after the Chinese officials who were setting up the concentration camps in Xinjiang against the Uyghur minority. And Australia couldn't participate. Australia, the only thing that Australia could do, because they didn't have a Magnitsky Act, was to approve of it from the sidelines. And so this is really important that Australia has this legislation so it can be part of the sort of civilized world of allies, making a statement when terrible things are happening.
What sort of regulatory teeth, so to speak, do these laws need to have in order for them to be successful?
Well, the main thing is that it's one thing to have a Magnitsky Act. It's another thing to use the Magnitsky Act. And so we're only halfway there when the Australian Parliament passes the legislation, because once it's in place, the Australian government has to then say, okay, here's a bad guy in Iran, or here's a bad guy in Myanmar, and we're going to put them on the sanctions list, and we're going to freeze their assets, and we're going to ban their visas. And it's I've been at this now for 12 years, and I found that a lot of government bureaucrats don't want to, stick their neck above the parapet and do something. And so it's one thing to get it in place, but it's going to be a whole other campaign to get the Australian government to use it.
And when we look at targeting those bad guys, in your words, how integral is that inclusion of malicious cyber activity?
Well, I think this is an interesting development in the Magnitsky legislation, which Australia is sort of on the cutting edge of, because we haven't seen that in other countries, but it's an obvious place to be developing new sanctions policy, because you've got the Chinese and the Russians doing this cyber activity, shutting down pipelines in America and hacking elections in the UK and doing all sorts of things and all over the world. And so I think it's smart, it's good, and it's a welcome addition to the framework that hasn't been there before. So that's good.
Can I ask you about one remark recently? Last week, the British-Australian academic Dr. Kylie Moore-Gilbert marked a year since she was freed from an Iranian prison and returned to Australia after 2 years of arbitrary detention. She actually spoke to the media here and said the phenomenon of state hostage taking is becoming a growing problem for Western nations. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree with that. And here in the UK, we have our own version of the same story. There's a woman named Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, who is a charity worker who was taken hostage. And the Iranians don't want to return her until there's some type of unpaid debt from the UK government to the Iranians. And to take a person hostage over an intergovernmental debt, it seems completely ludicrous and inappropriate and horrible. And that's one of the reasons why the Magnitsky Act is there, is so that when people do that kind of thing, you can really ratchet up the pressure and create real personal consequences for the people involved in hostage taking, like in the case of Kylie Moore Gilbert and Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe.
While we've got you there, there's a report that an Australian Senator, Kimberly Kitching, is nominating you for next year's Nobel Peace Prize. What do you make of that?
That's a total surprise, and it's nice of her to do that. But the reality of is we need to go after the people doing the terrible stuff. I'm not doing this for any accolades. I'm doing this because my lawyer was tortured and murdered, and I'll never be able to live with myself unless I do something about that. And more important for me to keep on moving the Magnitsky Act forward.
Bill Browder joining me early from London.